Colossians chapter 1. And going to look at, I guess, 9. I'd call them, let me start this way. It'd be like a profile of Jesus Christ. Going to look at 8 or 9 things that here in Colossians that kind of give us a profile of who he is. And I say that because I was thinking and reading, and I said, now, how can I, when I look at this, how can I relate that to that we might know? And when Kim and I went one trip there for a week, I was by myself, and the other one, Kim, she went with me. And we were getting ready to leave the airport, and she said, well, I guess we have to get a taxi. And I said, why don't we try that Uber? U-B-E-R, you know, some of you guys probably used it, but, you know, around here they don't have it, but in the cities they do. I said, all my students said we need to try Uber. And so while we're waiting on the bags, you know, to come down, because it takes a while sometimes there at the airport, she made a profile and downloaded the app on her phone. And so she downloaded the app, made the profile, said who she was, and she had to turn her phone around backwards and take a picture of herself and all that, you know. And what it was is that when you Uber them or you send that out, you know, tell them you're at the airport, well, they'll send you back and says, yes, I can pick you up. Well, this is just like an everyday person, you know. It'd be like if I was driving down the road and I was part of this Uber and, you know, I was available, then, you know, I'd hit a button on my phone, say I'd pick you up at Food City or wherever it'd be and take you wherever you needed to go, and it'd tell you how long I'd be there. But on the other end of it, we got to see a photo of who was picking us up. And so you'd see them, of course they'd see you, and they'd tell you what kind of car they were in, and give you a photo, not just the license plate number, give you a photo of it. So when they picked you up, you could check all that stuff. Anyway, we told Jesse about it, and Jesse said, well, I wouldn't do that. Said, you know, somebody'd kill you, you know, the wrong person pick you up, what Jesse said. And I said, well, Jesse, at least you'll know who killed us. And she said, don't matter, you'll still be dead. And I said, well, the taxi drivers be the same way. And Jesse scratched her head, and she said, I don't know if I'd be riding with people I didn't know. But anyway, it turned out to be pretty good experience. Well, I'll tell you this, and we'll get that's why I was getting into profile. That's what made me think of this for a lesson. And it's kind of putting it together here. I was reading on it, but it came to mind. It's really similar the same way. In other words, Kim put a profile of herself in there so they'd know who she was, or who, at least a little bit of who'd be riding with her. You know, you don't put a lot of details, but, you know, you let them know where you're at, and they get a picture of you and things like that, and so vice versa. But I don't know. We rode in some really, really nice cars. I mean, nice. They'd pull up, and I think, boy, these are, you know, and they're just individuals' vehicles. And then I'm talking, you know, 700 series BMWs, Mercedes, new ones, you know. And then along about day 3-4, we wanted to go somewhere in town. She'd punch it, and a Toyota Corolla would pull up, you know. And I'd say, now, Kim, you're hitting the wrong button here. I said, what happened to that Mercedes button? And she said, oh, I don't know. It's just something happened here. And anyway, next one come along, it'd be a Toyota Prius. We'd share that to two more people, and I'd have to hold my arm out the window just so we could all get in there, you know. And I said, Kim, you've messed something up on your profile. I said, they've got a black mark against you now. But anyway, I say that, and nothing wrong with the Corollas or the Priuses. I'm just saying that our first experience was these long Mercedes and stuff. But and it might have been because we was at the airport. But there was a profile. There was identifying information. There was something they could read and know that we were Brian and Kim. In other words, who they were picking up. And they'd ask when they got out, is this Brian and Kim? Yes, we did. Because you'd be surprised how many people were doing that. And we'd know their name. And anyway, it was a lot cheaper. I think a buddy of mine went down. He and his wife paid $90 from the airport to the hotel. We paid $13. And so just big difference, too, in price. But the profile is what I wanted to get to. Is you knew who was picking you up. You knew how it worked. You had to read about it. And so this morning in Colossians, that's what I wanted to share with you is Jesus Christ, his profile we have laid out here for us in Colossians. And I'd never seen this before. You guys may have heard it preached on, but in all the time I've read through Colossians or heard it, maybe it's been there and again just went right over my head or underneath or whatever. I never seen this. So we'll start here in verse number 15 in Colossians chapter 1. And there's 9 things in here. I said 8, but there's 9 things in here that can identify Christ. It gives us his profile, Jesus Christ, and does it as good a job as anywhere in Scripture and relates back to other Scripture that we'll go to tell us, of course, who he is. Of course, we know that if you're saved who he is, but again, Paul does a great job here. Now, in the first chapter, I encourage you this week sometime, read those first few verses there, verses 1 through maybe 12, 13, Colossians 1, especially when you get down verses And that's really, I started looking in Colossians 1 for this. It's a prayer that Paul is praying. And if you'll notice in verses, let's see, where was that? Verses 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. He'll talk about, he'll start out things we should pray for. If you'll read it that way, you'll see that. He says things that we should pray for because he's telling them how to pray. And then giving thanks at the end of the prayer for things you have or things that God has done for us. And it's really interesting and a good study. I think, it is verses 8 through 13. So if you get time this week, read through that and you'll see what I'm talking about. Think about it as a prayer from things that what Paul's saying we need to pray for or pray about. And then the thankful, or how thankful we should be for what we have. But we'll start at verse number 15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him are all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And we'll stop there at verse number 19. So that's reading verses 15 through verse 19. There's nine items in here that identify Jesus Christ, or it gives us a profile. And if you'll start with the first one, that's why I use the image or the profile when I talk about that Uber driver, because I'd want to look, see what they looked like when they pulled up, and they'd be Paul and John, and I'd forget their names, but be different ones. If you look there in verse number 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? Now, when it says image here, and that's what I'm thinking about, we always had a photograph to look at, a picture. Kim had to take one of herself. Those drivers had to take one of themselves. So you really knew, you knew all the detail about them. They had black hair, blonde hair, whatever. Well, that's what it's speaking about here. It said, who is the image of the invisible God? Well, when you stop and think about that, how then? Now, if you're saved, you know Christ is living in you. And we know that if you've been saved. And through the Holy Spirit. And we know, talk about the Trinity. God, the Father, and the Holy Ghost. And we know that. But when we talk about image, and it does mean here photo or photograph or picture, or be like back then it would have been a drawing or something, a sketch. Well, say, no, wait a second. And this is what I had trouble with when I was studying this. I said, so if that truly means an image, and we think of image as a photo you would see, then it would have to be in Scripture then that we would see Christ, or he would be revealed in his word. And so just stay right where you're at. Let me flip to just two places. It's over in John. And if you want to turn, you can. And you're all familiar with it. Especially getting this time of year, I know Sister Danita's already working on the Christmas program, getting some things together and thinking about what's coming up. And so I want to read you a couple of verses that should give you the image or the photograph, we would think, of Jesus Christ. So let me flip over here to John and let me read that to you. I had it marked. Now I don't, but it just take just a second to find it. And talk about image, because it says image of the invisible God. So if it's invisible, then how are you going to get an image of it? That John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In other words, as Christians, that's our image. It's revealed to us through His Word. Same way as when we were saved, we heard the preaching of the gospel. It was shared. Missionaries go out. They share the gospel. They share the Word of God. They share the image of Jesus Christ, of Him being here on earth. And you know, what was it, 2,000 years ago, and he dwelled among the people, you know, let's see, what does our friends in Maryland say? They're a Jewish couple. They always say, we think he was a man that he just did that, how did they word that? He said, we think he was a man, but it was something about wonders or experiences that just happened to happen when he was around. That's how they'd explain it. In other words, he happened to be in places where miraculous events would occur. And so we acknowledge that, but we still don't think he was the Son of God. But we know that he was, and we know that by his word. That's the image we have. That's the photograph we have, so to speak. But it's through his word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So that's our image that we have. One other verse here. Verse 14. And the Word was made flesh, that goes back to verses 1, 2, and 3. It tells them the Word was made flesh, because here it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, and the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So when we see here in Colossians, and Paul's given us a picture of Christ, and he said, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? So that's when our image, that's what we see. It's the Word. It's the gospel. It's the good news. It's what the prophets in the Old Testament talked about. That's what we have. That's our image. Now, there's another part, too, and that's number two. So number one is the image of the invisible God. That's one thing, kind of like a profile or identifying Jesus Christ here in Colossians. Number two would be, and I jotted these down somewhere, I put it, firstborn of every creature. Be the second portion of that verse. I should just look back at the verse, and there it is. It said, the firstborn of every creature. Firstborn here, specifically, if you go back and you dig around, and you look at that word firstborn, and some of you may have it already in your Bible. Mine's got a little mark and a little number one. Then over to the side, it says, means first in rank, first in order. In other words, not only who is the image of the invisible God, and went back and talked about the Word and the Word over in John, the firstborn of every creature, or in other words, the first priority, first in rank, that's before all creation. That means in charge. That means number one. That means there's nothing else above you. That means if you were talking about a corporation, that'd be the CEO. That'd be the buck stops here. That'd be there was none other. In other words, firstborn, he came out of eternity and took on humanity. Think about that. So in other words, he's the first one to have done that and the only one. That's right. And that reminds me now of a scripture. Stay with me. And I was reading that come to mind. I got that from Isaiah, what I just said. And I got to remember now where it is. I think it's Isaiah 10. But he came out of eternity and took on humanity. And I think it's in... I've got it right here. Oh. For every battle of the warrior is with a confused noise. Okay, wait a second. Here it is. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be up on his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. In other words, he's the firstborn, as it says here, of every creature. But he came out of eternity to take on humanity. He was the first one and the only one to ever do that. And that's what Isaiah here, and you go on and finish reading in verses 8, 9, and 10. He's telling us, says, for unto us a child is born. Okay, a child is born. That's what we would see. That's what we think of when we think of the God-man. But he was still 100% God. And we'll get into that in just a second, because Paul addresses that as one of these nine, I guess, profile items or things to look for in Colossians for Jesus Christ. So keep that in mind. So, for unto us a child is born. That's what we could then see. We actually could, that was the word that John was talking about in verse number 1 and 2 and 3, then over in 14. So that's what we could see. That became the image. That's what we know today to be the truth, is the gospel. The words that are preached from this book, from the Bible, we believe those. What does Billy Mitchell say sometimes? He says, all of this scripture is to us, but not all of it is for us. And I always says that, in other words, rightly dividing the word of God. In other words, dividing the word of truth, the knowing what applies and learning from. Of course, when we look over in the Old Testament, we talk a lot of times in learning from what happened in nations then that got away from God and God's people and judgment. And so as we look here, number two, and you got the image of the invisible God, was number one. Number two is firstborn of every creature. But number three said, verse number 16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him, for him. By him were all things created. And I never noticed this before in studying this. For by him were all things created, if you'll notice the next part, that are in heaven and that are in earth. Okay, that means everywhere. And we all agree on that. And you say, okay, wait a minute. You didn't catch that? Okay. We know all things, heaven and earth. Now, here's what I never caught before. And like I said, read through it. I never noticed these like nine characteristics before. So I was way behind. But this right here was something in this verse that really jumped out at me. In earth, visible and invisible. Again, that means all things. So, well, now, what are you talking about, Brian? The next section. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. In other words, that covers all bases. But who usually sits on thrones? Kings, queens, leaders, people in charge. And I said, well, that takes care of the earthly realm because I see thrones and that's what I would think. But then next I said, or dominions. Well, that concludes somebody like Nebuchadnezzar, I would think of. That controls vast regions and dominions and power. You know, he had other kingdoms underneath him. Nebuchadnezzar did. You know, he was thinking of the Roman Empire, same way. Had other kingdoms beneath them. They allowed them to rule themselves, but they had a, you know, fist of iron, so to speak. And I said, well, I can see that too as I was studying. And then till I got to, or principalities or powers. And that's when I stopped to think. I said, well, that covers the spiritual realm. That covers everything. And so, for by him were all things created. We know that. In other words, he was the firstborn of every creature. We talk about how he left eternity and became humanity for us. And Isaiah said, a child is born. The God-man was born. And here it said, were all things he created. In other words, it goes back to his deity and him being God. But it said that are in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones. In other words, he's in control of everything. And that's what Daniel tried to tell and share with Nebuchadnezzar. So there's a God that runs this show here, runs everything, takes care of everything you see. So Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, which he was trying to, I guess, thought he had control of, and he was it, so to speak, and there was nobody above him. Of course, God showed him there was, and Daniel tried to share that with him. He said, whether they be thrones or dominions, and then here's where, as Christians today, I think we really need to stop and say, well, okay, we know God's in charge, and whatever happens in our election, whatever happens in senators, House of Representatives, the nation, president, whatever, that's God's in charge. That's right. We believe that. His will be done. Now, sometimes, as we've heard, and I think it's Mr. Grizzle, several years ago, had a lesson, said, go back and look at Israel, said God gave them a leader after their own heart. I'm talking about the nation as a whole. Heart of the nation, that's the leader they'd get. Sometimes through prayer, or you'd get a leader, as we talked about just a couple weeks ago, who would turn back to God. Remember, the Word of God was found when they were renovating the temple. And the king that changed his heart. He changed the nation. Or he was able to put off judgment on a nation or hold it back or stand in the gap until his death. Then judgment came. And so we still believe that today. And what I'm getting to here, or dominions or principalities or powers. Now, where else have you heard that? Let me flip right here because it's just one book over or two. Let's see here. And I'd never seen this before. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So we're reminded there, Paul does, he says, these nine characteristics, these nine profile characteristics of God I'm going to share with you in Colossians. Image of the invisible God. This is what you see. This is who he is. Firstborn of every creature. So I'm going to tell you there's none other before him or after him that's done what he's done. And also about him, all things were created. And when we say that, all things. In other words, you talk about earthly kingdoms, but also anything in the spiritual realm he created as well. So that if any time we think God's not in charge, we could stop right there and say, well, right there says he is. If you created it, it's yours. You're in charge of it. You're more knowledgeable than the thing you created is. See, we think about that. Sometimes I get down myself. I think how things are going, not only I was talking about as a nation, as we say as a world, but also sometimes spiritually, like, you know, as we traveled and we always try to find a church and look for people going to church, and it's just hard to find that. You know, we'd had to go way out of town to find a church, and we went to, I guess it was, it would be like North Miami, is where my meeting was. Kim, she was in and out all the time. I was in the hotel almost all the time, except when it got evening. But on Sunday, if we wanted to try to find a church, you were driving an hour and a half to try to find something. But with that said, I'll tell you this. We ate lunch with a young man one day. Well, I shouldn't say he was close to my age. I still call us young, I guess. He sat down with us, and we were talking with him, and out of the blue, he said, we were talking about church, and it happened to be a Sunday. And it was, I guess, last Sunday. And he said, yeah, it's difficult to find a church. He said, where I'm in school at, whatever university he was at, he talked about how he was in charge of, I guess, the local, I guess, fellowship of Christian students. I was trying to think what his acronym for that was, and I don't remember it now, but it's not the student athlete, something else. Anyway, well, that's not what was important. We were talking about how it's difficult to find a place. Kim and I had already made those comments, and she said, you know, we're fortunate living in the part of the country we do, and we were talking about that, and he spoke up out of the blue, and he said, yeah, he said, that is fortunate. He said, I was in a rock and roll band, and he said, spent my first 3 or 4 years out of high school traveling this country, living out of an old van, and said, with these other boys, and he said, just living a life that was ungodly. He said, then somebody invited me to church. And he said, started going to church with him, said, I got saved. And he said, that changed my life. I mean, he's clean cut. You should have saw him. He was clean cut. You know, not he didn't have hair like mine, but I mean, clean cut guy and soft spoken. He said, it changed my life. He said, I don't want anybody to see pictures of me or who I was or why I acted before I was saved. He had to be in his early 20s when he got saved. And he said, what I've noticed today, he said, with these young people I deal with, he said, I encourage them, invite somebody to church. He said, if nobody had invited me, he said, I'd probably be dead. Still riding the roads, still playing bands, still going to... He said, you know, we'd go days and sleep in truck stops and not take showers and play this loud rock and roll music. And he said, I don't even want to give you any more details. And then somebody invited me to church. So he said, well, the young people I have today in college, and I try to meet with them. He said, I encourage them. He said, to invite somebody else to church. Get in a group and go to church together. He said, people don't like to go to church by themselves. He said, I never would have went by myself. And he said, they didn't save me, but the preaching of the gospel did. But at least I rode with them to get there. And Kim and I said, well, that you know, that's good. Are they inviting people to church? He said, every now and then they'll invite somebody to go to church with them. And before I could speak, he said, they're too busy. I said, people too busy to go to church with them? No, they're too busy to invite them. He said, that's what we've got to do. And he said, that's where we're at today. And he's not talking about, I know we mention our youth here a lot. We're 16, 17. He's talking about 22 because these are graduate levels, dude. These are, so they all got to be 22, 23, 24, 25. You know, you don't have any 18, 19, 20-year-olds in this bunch. 26, too busy, too tied up, too busy for church. And you think about that this morning as we're looking at 9 characteristics of Jesus Christ, the image, what he's done for us. He was the first and foremost. He's in charge. But still, like I said, we could stop right there and see all things were created by him and for him. And if we'll look at number 4 on my list, by him were all things created. Number 4, all things were created for him. You just look around and see that all things were created for him. You look at just the night sky. You look at the sun comes up every morning. We got talking about that and how the ocean, every day the tide come in, tide go out. And he mentioned that, and we had that in conversation. And he talks about, you know, why don't people want to go to church? Why don't people want to worship? Why don't we want to hear the gospel preached? And as it tells us in the New Testament, you know, it's foolishness to them, to the lost world. And it's our responsibility to invite them, to tell them, to share it with them, if nothing else, for them to watch our life. And I think that's what he was saying when he made the comment. He said, I don't want anybody. He'd drop his head every time. He said, I hope no photos ever appear of me. He said, I'm glad that was before the internet times. That way, hopefully, nothing will ever be uploaded to see. Because he said, I try to be a witness to these kids. He said, I don't share that life with them. I tell them how to come out of that and who can bring them out of it. You think about that. And that's why by him are all things created. All things were created for him. As we go and continue to read here, it said, and all things were created by him, and all things were created for him. Again, just look at the night sky. And I'll tell you something else, too, we talked about. When the church is raptured out, we'll inherit that as well. So we're just really, if you think about it, our bodies, and you've heard this preached on, I know I've heard it here before as well, and other preachers say, and we're just in a tent. Really, what you see is just a tent. If you're saved and we're just taking care of this tent, or I guess it's taking care of us, or we're doing the best we can with it. Now, some of it's getting tattered and it's been weathered a little bit and been sitting out in the sun, getting a lot of wind, I guess. And some of us are getting around a little slower than we used to. But you know what? One day we'll give up these old bodies. We'll give up these old tents. That's right. Have a heavenly home. We'll be like, Abraham. searching for that city. So he was always a nomad. Didn't really belong. If you think about nomads, what first comes to your mind? Big canvas tents. He'd just pick them up and move them wherever he needed to go because he knew this wasn't his home. Let's continue on. I got to watch my time this morning. I got a little bit more time here. It's not much. 3 or 4 minutes, and I've got about 4 more things to go, and they'll go much faster. But still, those top 4 items, we could stop there and say, well, that's the Christ I know. Let's go. Verse number 17. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Now, you say, no, wait a second. Before all things, you've already told us up there above that he was firstborn. Now, and that is true. But if you look here, and he is before all things, that's just anything that you can think of. When we talk about the firstborn of every creature, we talk more of a spiritual realm. In other words, you know, like Isaiah said, unto us a child is born. And it was the first God-man. It's the only time that's happened. And we talk about he left eternity. He took on humanity for us. But as we look here, and he says, before all things. In other words, even before Genesis 1:1, God existed. You know, from everlasting to everlasting. And that's just a reminder. That's why I think he puts the and in there. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things. In other words, there's no doubt that Jesus Christ was before. You know, we talk about the Trinity. God, Son, Holy Ghost, that it existed before anything. And said, it is before all things, and by him were all things consist. Now, I made a little note about this consist, and I wanted to look at it just really quick. And said, by him all things consist. In the Greek, I had to look this word up, and I'm going to spell it to you because I do a horrible job pronouncing it, but it's S-U-N-I-S-T-E-M-I. It means to hold together. He's the super glue. Not only our lives, but the universe. Think about that. And as you look, say, and he is before all things, by him all things consist. So no matter what it is, he holds it together. And I thought about this. You know, and I guess because we were talking on our trip, you know, about stuff, and it made me think about just chemistry and atoms, and you remember all that stuff, you know, and hydrogen and oxygen, all these, I guess particles we can't see in the air, but they exist. Because we're breathing in oxygen even though we can't see it. And I remember back in World War II, and they split the atom, and of course they later split hydrogen and made these massive nuclear explosions. These nuclear reactions is what I'm getting to. Fission, so to speak. They'd be able to break them. Think about the power that's in this universe. And I'm not saying we can do it, but I mean just man given the capability to split an atom in the explosion we could cause. Talk about the atom bomb, hydrogen bomb, etc. So think about all the power that's around us, and someone has to keep that in control. Somebody has to hold that together. Now, someday that's going to be released. But for now, you think about that. As I read that, by him all things consist. So not only on a scale of just ourselves, and we think about our lives and our family and the world we know and see, but think about the things, as we mentioned earlier, the invisible things as well. God keeps them together. In other words, we look at the characteristics of Jesus Christ and the God-man. He came here to dwell among us. Holds it together. He's the super glue of the universe. We think about the Holy Spirit now, holding back the wrath of God, much like as we talked 2 weeks ago, a king standing in the gap, holding back the wrath, because little do they know, Nebuchadnezzar was just on the horizon. Remember? That's how he got killed. He went out to try to stop the Egyptian king. And the Egyptian king killed him. He said, get out of my way. He said, you know, God's got to, and I'm paraphrasing, but he stood in his way. And he said, no, he said, God told me to, you know, the Egyptian king was saying, no, the Pharaoh, remember, he said, no, from God, I'm supposed to go fight with the Assyrians. In other words, to stop this advancement. I'm paraphrasing because it's several verses there, but that's basically what was going on. He wouldn't move. He got killed. What happened? Nebuchadnezzar advanced. Judgment came. And that's what you see here. If we think about the Holy Spirit holding things together. It's here still on earth. The church hasn't been raptured out yet. The church is in the gap. It's holding back the wrath. But one day we'll be taken out. We'll be raptured out. We'll go to that, as it says up here, all things were created by him and for him. We'll go to home. We'll give up this tent. We'll give up this body. Let me finish up, because that was my time checker there telling me I need to finish up. And he is the head of the body, the church. See, that comes right into the play. And he is before all things, by him all things consist. He's the glue, holds it together, and he is the head of the body. and the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. He's the origin of the church, the beginning. As you can see here, there are many, many firsts as we talk about Jesus Christ. So when you're talking about his characteristics, that'd be like if we were trying to name it. Oh, he's the first, you know, first. Think about that. He's firstborn. He's an image of the invisible God. All things were created by him, so he had to be before that time. A lot of first, as you see. So he is before all things, as we saw here, and said him all things consist. And he is the head of the body of the church. Number 8, if I can get down here to it. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Here's number 8. That in all things he might have the preeminence. In other words, God's plan moves forward. No matter what man does, the plan still moves forward. So to recap, before we get to number 9, he's the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn of every creature. By him, all things were created. All things were created for him. He is before all things. By him, all things consist or stay together. He is the head of the body and the church. In other words, he was the origin. As we've read before, there's a lot of first for this Jesus Christ. Number 8, that in all things he might have the preeminence. In other words, the plan that God established about for his son is still moving forward. It's not going to pause or be put on hold, or man's not going to do anything to change that. Then number 9, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And I had to go back, and there's another word I looked up. I looked up the word for fullness. And it's P-L-E-R-I-M-A. The Greek word emphasizes being empty. But as you go back and look, it says, for it had pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And you say, wait a second. You just said that fullness, what we think about as being full. And the Greek word means emphasizing emptiness. But this is where it comes in. It's a phrase. Let me go back. Greek word emphasizing that Christ emptied himself with a capital H, to become a servant, emptied his glory that he had with his Father. But he at no time emptied himself of his deity. He was God when he came, even as when Isaiah said, unto us a child is born. He was still God-man. You know, we hear that a lot. But for the first time when I read that, I said, and went back and looked at that Greek word for fullness. That means he gave up something, but what he kept was his deity. In other words, even as a baby, he could have uttered the words and what formed this, been the same words or the mouth that would have uttered the formation of the world at that time. You think about that. You think about as he grew up. I've thought about that sometimes too. As a little boy began to talk, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, 8, whatever, communicate with family. The knowledge, the understanding. Well, even at 12, he was in the temple talking with the physicians and men on the Sanhedrin. He was discussing matters. And you remember he told his mom and dad, said, hey, I'm busy. You know, leave me alone. You go away. You think about that. And think about that. One more time, and I'll be done. Emphasizing Christ emptied himself to become a servant. Emptied his glory that he had with his Father. But he did not empty himself of his deity. He kept it. 9 characteristics of Jesus Christ found in Colossians. I'd never seen it before. You guys may have already seen it and heard it preached about. Never seen that before. That's what Paul was sharing with them. That's 9 characteristics we need to remember as an encouragement to us. And as that fellow we had lunch with that day told us, he said, invite somebody to church. He said, it don't hurt to invite them. He said, what we don't want to do, he says, like we've seen, I said a while ago, we don't want to be too busy, to invite somebody else and tell them about Jesus. Have a good morning. I gave myself a little bit of time. Yeah, we're right on it this morning. You got time to visit and move around and welcome many visitors. And thank you for your attention.